Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Carmen. I just got some good news that World Vision distribution teams are reaching out to the survivors in the Superstorm Sandy's aftermath, which is wonderful. I heard that some relief teams were challenged by gas shortage and heavy snow, but they're still distributing food, flood, and hygiene kits, which is wonderful. And anybody who wants any more information about that can contact John Yeager, World Vision, at 425-765-9845. His email is jyeager at worldvision.org. This is Carmen Amoros coming to you from the New York Pod Cafe. I am the program's host, and this is the first episode in 2002 that I do live, and quite frankly, I'm experiencing a bit of stage fright. You may not be able to tell from the sound of my voice, but it is kind of like being on stage, actually a bigger stage than the stage that, or the stages that I've been used to standing upon, because I know that the world is listening, and we've been getting such a high response. I am so surprised at the response that our program is getting, and I'm absolutely thrilled. I am absolutely floored at how people are listening and they're downloading the program on their iPods and listening to the program later. I think it's wonderful, and I'm very, very fortunate. Anyway, going back to the hurricane Sandy aftermath relief people, you can go to worldvision.org/American families and lend your help there. And don't forget to contact John Yeager of World Vision US. The media relations number again is 425-765-9845, and that's jyeager at worldvision.org, a wonderful organization. I just want to say that I'm really still a bit in awe of the fact that my house is here, that I'm still here in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. We took a walk several days after the hurricane in our neighborhood, and we realized just how truly blessed we were. We took note at the markings on the walls of the brick fences of some of the homes and saw that the water level was at least a foot high, just a block away from where we live. And we saw how much a lot of our neighbors lost. Furniture, television sets, computers, electronic equipment down in the basement. I cannot believe how much. Every other block, the houses, the fronts of the homes, you know, had furniture piled up to here. I mean, it was just, my husband and I were looking at each other in disbelief. We couldn't believe that we had actually not experienced flooding or downed trees or even, you know, broken windows or, you know, it was just totally, I'm really just grateful and very thankful to be here. And it makes you think about your priorities. And I've grown a lot since I saw a lot of the things that I saw with my very own eyes here in terms of the destruction and the devastation that Sandy left. And I realized that nothing in life is that important. The most important thing in life is that we are here and that we can enjoy the life that we've been given, which is a gift, because nothing is owed to us. We're just here because God allowed us to be here. So we have to be grateful to God for that. And I don't know how many folks are, you know, have gotten their internet and their power back, but it doesn't seem that whether or not you're on the internet, if you don't have power, you don't have radio, you don't have television, you don't have some of those things that we enjoy when we have electricity. But I will speak as though the survivors of Hurricane Sandy are listening to me tonight. And I just want to say that you are not alone. I felt very, very motivated to be of some kind of support. Excuse me, just a day or two after we got our power back, when I realized that some of our friends in Breezy Point and some of them in Staten Island and some in Long Island and New Jersey had been flooded out of their homes and, you know, were in dire straits. And things were very intense over by them. And I felt so helpless because we have a car, but unfortunately with the 2 or 3 hour lines, we knew that we had to conserve whatever amount of gas we had because, you know, we just weren't willing to go and sit on those lines for, you know, the amounts of time that people are spending on those lines. So I felt helpless and I thought, what can I do to make myself useful, you know? What could I do to make myself useful to my friends in Staten Island, Breezy Point, Long Island, and New Jersey? And so I decided that the best thing for me to do would be to bring back my show, my program, and start emailing and start calling the Staten Island Council members and council members in some of the boroughs. And, of course, I couldn't reach many of them, so I was emailing them a lot. But to be honest with you, it just gave me a little peace. I felt a little peaceful feeling that I was doing something for those people out there in my own way, even though I couldn't tangibly help my friends, you know. I don't know if you heard me call out to Ira because he has the TV up high in the next room, and my studio is next to our bedroom. So you might have heard me call out to him. I don't know. But I just want to just continue saying that I felt that I need to do something with the technology that I have to be of assistance to those people and to call attention to their plight, because I was so close to the devastation, and I came out of it unscathed, and I almost feel guilty. While I feel blessed, I felt a little bit guilty that, you know, we were okay. And I urge the people here to continue to reach out to the food drives, the food and clothing drives, the community churches that are having those drives, to the Red Cross. Even a week or two after this whole thing begins to wind down and life begins to return to normal, please do not believe for a second that the survivors are okay. These people are going to be struggling, trying to restore their lives back to normalcy for possibly 6 months, a year, 2 years, who knows how long, until God touches some mogul developer, architectural firm to come out and start building homes for them out of the goodness of their heart. And quite honestly, there's so little of that in this world. But I think we can all pray for a miracle, and we can expect miracles because there are still very good people out there. There are still people who do philanthropic things and who show their love of mankind and their love for their fellow man. And it has nothing to do with spirituality. I believe that spiritual people can be good people, but I've also seen that even spiritual people can be insensitive sometimes too. So it's all about the heart. It's all about the individual, the person, you know. It depends on the individual. What is it that they feel? What is it that they care about? Do they have a heart? Does life matter? You know, how the comfort of other people, does it matter? So I'm fumbling here for more words while I wait for my special guest to call into the show. My special guest is Anthony Max Sanchez. His alias is Anthony Max, who is a wonderful young man who is in music, and he's a writer, a composer, and a singer. And he's been around for a while, and he's striking it out on his own. And during the hurricane, he was touched to decide to put together a concert, a benefit concert, to help Hurricane Sandy survivors. And I know for a fact that he is doing this from the bottom of his heart, because long before Sandy, he had started an organization called MOVES, which is an organization that helps to put on fundraising events, benefit concerts, and different types of events that help people in crisis. So he had that in place way before Hurricane Sandy. And when Hurricane Sandy struck, of course, he couldn't sit by and, you know, watch idly. But, he's done a magnificent thing starting this organization. And a very nice friend of mine on FB, on Facebook, posted a banner of this benefit concert that he's trying to put together for this Friday. To date, he's still trying to get licensing for that concert, and I'm praying that he will receive approval for it soon, because this is for a good cause. And it just puzzles me how even during a crisis, people question other people's motivations when they're not getting anything out of putting out an event, putting on an event, especially if you're putting out of your time and effort and your resources, personal resources, to put on this event to help people and not expect anything in return. All of the money's going to go to the Red Cross. He's still having a hard time getting a permit, getting a license for the venue that he's trying to put this huge concert on. And he has all the talent in place, and he has all of the musicians who are willing to give of their time and come out and perform for free just to get people to, you know, bring goods, you know, bring food, bring clothing, funding, anything that they can to this event. And all of that, you know, which will go to the survivors, Hurricane Sandy survivors. Possibly in three communities, because the way that he had it strategized, he says that that one concert will probably help about three Hurricane Sandy communities that might have been devastated by the storm. So I'm really excited to see such a young man, such a talented, brilliant young man. He's a teacher by day. He teaches music. And on his off time, he's a composer and a singer, and he plays the guitar, and he also teaches guitar privately, I believe. And he started this organization to help people and communities in crisis, and I was very thrilled to have him on this program. I was expecting him to call me about 3 minutes ago at about 7:45. Before I start the show, so that we can have some kind of a Q&A in case people wanted to call in and ask some questions. But he hasn't called yet. So what I'm going to do is I am going to start the actual interview that I have with him, and perhaps later on, if we have a little bit of time, we can take some questions from our listeners. So remember, if you call, after I unmute you, you're going to be on live and you're going to be recorded. So I ask that you please measure your words carefully and consider that this program, the aim of this program is to uplift Hurricane Sandy survivors everywhere, not just in New York, But everywhere, the Carolinas and all of those states that were hit badly by the storm, then I consider them also. So it is now 7:49 p.m., and I have not heard from Anthony Sanchez, who, by the way, is at a rehearsal tonight. It's a very important rehearsal. So, of course, he being our special guest, I have to consider he has a little clout. we're allowing him to be late, especially since he so graciously gave me an interview. And you're just going to love this young man. Just wait till you hear him speak. Very bright young man, very sound person, spiritual, loves God, loves music, loves people. Excellent composer, excellent musician. You're going to love his music. The interview is laced with three of his compositions. And if you like John Marr, if you like Katy Perry, not that he sounds like Katy Perry, but if you like some of these singers, you're going to love his music. I love his music. I fell in love with it. So, it is now 7:50. So I was thinking that I'm going to start the show. And the show's going to go on for about 50 minutes. If you can tune in with me, just hang in there with me for 50 minutes. If after 50 minutes Anthony Sanchez arrives at the studio, it's a virtual studio with a bunch of buttons here, very intimidating looking little switchboard that I have here. I'm actually running the whole thing. I'm actually everything, the engineer, the host, the evening news, everything. I'll start the show, and then maybe we can get him on board later on to answer any questions that some of you may have. So here goes the show. I'm going to start the episode, and let's see what happens. I hope you enjoy the show.
Carmen Amoroz, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. Hello, hello, hello. It's Carmen Amoroz, host of the New York Pod Cafe. Today we have a wonderful interview with a fabulous composer, recording artist, and philanthropist, whose name is Anthony Sanchez, alias Anthony Max, which is his stage name. Anthony Sanchez set out on his musical journey way back in the summer of 1999. After picking up a guitar, he soon discovered a talent for writing songs and never quit after that. His tuneful songs are either enhanced by a rocking beat or a soulful groove. Anthony has an insatiable appetite for talking about God's love and wishes to express that fully through his music. The future is only looking brighter each day for this young artist. So join me in welcoming Anthony Max Sanchez.
Hello, Anthony. How are you?
Carmen, I am, awesome. I'm doing great, thank God. Glad
thank
to be
you
on your
for
show.
Joining me.
No, thank you for having me. I'm really honored.
So, Anthony, share a little bit about where you were born, what high school you went to school in. Talk to us a little bit about your parents, their names, your siblings, what life was like growing up in the Sanchez household.
I was born in Brooklyn, New York, in St. Mary's Hospital back in 1982. My mother and father's name, my mother's Scott Ming Sanchez, and my father is Samuel. I went to Grover Cleveland High School, graduated with the class of 2000, and I went to St. Francis College and transferred to Queens College, where I didn't finish. Just the curveballs of life kind of get you. So I haven't been able to complete that, but it's still in the process. And the Sanchez household was a household full of laughter and just jokes all the time. And it was a cool place to be in. I come from a family that is very, very large. There's over 500 of us just include just the first up to the third generation. We are a family who, although there are so many of us, a lot of us are extremely close. We're a tight-knit family. It's not awkward for, you know, us as cousins to think of each other as brothers and sisters, because we just always grew up that way. It wasn't that this is your cousin. It was just more like this is your brother, you know, and we all stuck together that way. I mean, we fought like brothers and sisters. We stuck up for each other like brothers and sisters. And it was just a very, very awesome environment to be a part of growing up. And and I thank God for it, because it's played a big role in who I am today and how I view just relationships and how I view my family and the importance that it plays in my life and the lives of my children and their future.
It sounds like you have a very grounded, solid standing in your life. Are you married?
I'm married for the past 7 years. My wife's name is Alejandra Isabel Escoto Sanchez.
Wow. long name. Typical Spanish name. I have about 7 names tagged onto mine, but I keep it simple nowadays. How did you start your music? Share a little bit about that. How did you start your music ministry career?
You know, my bio is, it starts actually where I first started learning guitar, but if I'm going to talk about where I started music, I have to say that it goes back to when I was 7 years old. I've been singing since I was 7 years old. My sister and I would do competitions. We would just copy songs from the radio, say, no, I'm better than you, or, you know, just a sibling rivalry type of things. And I would perform in, like, school concerts, like the spring concert or the Christmas concert in the school that I was in. And singing was always a part of my life. It was always in my family, just listening to, like, artists that my grandfather, my father used to listen to, like Los Panchos, José Luis Perales, Bobby Brown, Boyz II Men, AC/DC, Stevie Wonder, Sam Cooke, just all these artists that just all kind of just jammed together in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that just created what my sound is today. And when I was 17, I went into Grover Cleveland High School as a junior, transferred from LaSalle Academy. And I saw, this would literally happen. I walked in and got my program from a guidance counselor, and I saw guitar one. And I said to myself, wow, you know what? This is going to be part of my life forever. It's never going to leave.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah.
All of those folks that you mentioned are your influences, your musical influences.
Yes.
And your guitar playing is actually the instrument that you use to play and to compose your music as well. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I compose all my music on my acoustic guitar.
Where have you been playing your music? I heard some of the pieces on your site over at Reverb Nation, and I got blown away. Okay, Anthony? I mean, seriously. I was totally blown away. Talk to me. Tell me where you showcase your music.
Well, to be honest with you, I recently just started showcasing my music. I recently just started recording my music in August. I have so many compositions done, but I took a step back from music just because when I was younger, one of my greatest dreams was to be a father and a husband, and I have that, and that I'm living my dream currently. So music is the icing on my cake. I have my cake already, but I didn't want to take away from my kids and from my wife. So I just spent the last 4 or 5 years just really just being a homebody, being at home, being a husband, cooking, you know, helping with kids, helping my wife. Especially my wife has back issues, so it's not very easy for her to do a lot. So I try my best to, you know, just have everything as comfortable as it can be for my wife, so that she doesn't have to strain herself, because it's very painful if she does too much. So now that my kids are older and they're more independent, she doesn't have to really, you know, hunch over or carry them. So now I'm more free to be able to pursue my music career. And it's something that she actually encouraged me to do. You know, she just saw how a lot of my friends were really doing their music and being successful about it. And she saw, you know, Anthony, she tells me, you know, Anthony, you're a great writer, you're a great singer, you can play, you know, you can do this. And I was like, yeah, I know, but, you know, I didn't want, you know, there to be any strife with us, you know, because I'm not willing to sacrifice. I told her I wasn't willing to sacrifice you just to pursue my music.
You really sound like you're so in love. I love that, Anthony. So does she actually love your music? What does she think about your music, your wife?
Yes, she's been, I mean, if you listen to that song, Motion of Your Ocean, that song is all about her. That she's been my North Star. She's been that star which has guided me when I was misplaced or lost or just felt out of it. And in the bridge of that song, it says, you know, you lift me up when I'm down. It's you. You believed in me when nobody else could. You know, so she's always really believed in me. She's always encouraged me. She's always really pushed me to be the best that I can be. And you know, she's been, when no one was ever a supporter of my music, she was. And
that's really very important, isn't it? It's very important for a spouse, a husband or a wife, to support the artistry of their spouse. Well, especially, you know, because we artists, our heart is in our art and in our music, isn't it? So
it really is. It really is. And I'm just so grateful, because I know I hear stories about people who are at odds about, you know, their music or their art, and just to have a spouse that really believes in what God has put in me and the gift that's in me is beyond words. I have nothing. It's unequivocal. I can't really put any words to it. It's just an amazing feeling.
Now that we're talking about your music, wouldn't it be nice if we play one of your songs? The name of the song that we're going to be playing. Can you share a little bit about the title and why you wrote it and what it means to you before we play it?
Sure. Well, I mean, since this interview really took a turn to really idolize the love of my life, let's play "Motion of Your Ocean." It's a song that I wrote for my wife. I initially started, anytime I get an inspiration for some reason, like about love, it's always when my wife is sleeping and she's got her eyes closed and she's just laying peacefully on her pillow. And I look at her and it's like instantly I get a melody and I get words. And so this song was birthed while my wife was napping. It's called "The Motion of Your Ocean."
Oh, thank you. I can't wait to hear it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here it goes. When I'm down, it's you.
beautiful song. Oh, gosh. I just wish somebody had written something like that for me. Ah, beautiful.
So tell me, do you compose most of your music, Anthony, or do you sing stuff
yes.
that other artists perform? Tell me a little bit about it.
I always prefer to compose and perform my own music. However, there are songs that have been pivotal to my development as a musician and a singer, and I always use those songs. Like one of those songs is actually Overjoyed by Stevie Wonder, one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
And the song Good Love Is On The Way by John Mayer, which is also actually on my YouTube page, an acoustic performance of that song. Mm-hmm. And just song, those types of songs that really just have a message, have a clear message, and it's not necessarily vulgar, but it uses words in a way that's just so intricate and majestic. And I love songs like that, because I think to use vulgarities or perversity in a song, I just think it's a cop-out. I think it's an easy way out. Anybody can do that. But it takes someone with real skill and dedication to his or her craft to really take time and say, what am I going to say that's really going to drive this home without me resorting to four-letter words or something that's derogatory?
I'm totally in agreement with you on that, because it's true. Nowadays, a lot of people resort to tactics and gimmicks and things like that to try to pump out music. And sometimes it's done in a very perfunctory way. Not enough time is dedicated to perfecting it and really making it as polished as it used to be back in even the late 80s and early 90s. I would say as far back as we can go. I mean, as far back as the 20s and 30s. And now anybody can scream and howl, and that's a song.
It's
really sad. It's really sad the direction that music is going into.
Aside from that, Carmen, I just think it's also a testament to where we are as a society. Because if you think about it, the 70s, pop music was jazz. Today, pop music is nonsense. I don't even know if I can give it a genre. But jazz music was the popular music in the 70s. And it just says, you know, it just says a lot of about us as a society that popular music is now music that has really no sense behind it.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. I have to admit that I was watching a Katy Perry video, and I think she's one of the few artists that actually has music that tells a story, that makes any sense. And she's a very new artist.
She's one of my favorites right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like she has that song, like Firework, that song Firework. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing
mm-hmm.
lyrics behind that song. Such an amazing lyric. And even the song she did about Elmo, and I love that song. The song she did with Sesame Street, I was dying. And my daughter loves Elmo. So we watched it together. She was just, it was a good time. I thought it was so awesome. And I always find that such a pleasure to see an artist that can really, you know, use their songwriting ability to just be happy and bring joy to other people. And that's what I hope to do in my career.
I don't know where her heart is right now, but she started out as a church singer. So, you know, she has spiritual roots. And that's probably another thing that lends to the quality of her music. I don't know, like I said, where her heart might be right now, but I do know that I think no matter how far she veers away from her Christian gospel roots, she's always going to have that quality about her, her music and her lyrics and everything. Like they say, you can run, but when you have the seal on you, you can't hide. What are your views on religion, romance, sexuality? Do you really think that spiritual people have a romantic side to them? How does that play into your music?
Well, Carmen, I think that if you're spiritual and you're not romantic, then you're not spiritual at all. I mean, if you just look at the Song of Solomon and how Solomon goes into detail of how he just loves this female. He is just infatuated with this girl. He can't stop thinking about her. And he talks about going up and down the hills and the valleys. Now, the hills are metaphoric. They mean a lot. They're pertaining to a certain body part of a female anatomy. So, if you can't...
Go ahead, say it. Her chest. It's okay. We can say that C-H-E-S-T, her chest.
it's her chest. And you know, the valley, I won't say what that is, but, it's just... God created us this way. You know, he created us as... as sexual beings. Now, it's how it's in the context that we engage in our sexuality, and I'm a firm believer that, you know, sex should only take place within the sanity of marriage. You know, the mm-hmm. Bible is clear, says that, you know, the marital bed is undefiled, and it's a part of, once we are married to our spouse, it's also important to remember that that sex is not something that's obligated or mandatory. It's something that you continuously have to earn. And I think it was a brother who said, it was during a marriage conference that my wife and I went to, and he says that if dating is high school, then marriage should be college into our doctorate that we earn in the degree of loving our wives. And I thought that was so powerful for me. Just because it really changed the perspective of it. Because, you know what? I think every husband is guilty of being an idiot and a jerk at the beginning of their marriage. No one man goes into marriage knowing everything that he needs to do. And if he does, I think it's Jesus. And,
I think everybody has their share of being idiots in marriage, even the ladies, too. And you know something? You're right in what you said, that it's lovemaking is something that should be earned and not demanded. And not only that, but when two people are in love, it very rarely should need to be demanded. It happens naturally because you love that person. And that's what you want to actually do with that person, is to love them and to entangle yourself and wrap yourself in them. And, you know, everybody has their good days and their bad days, right? But anyway, going back to your music, so that influences the romantic aspect of your writing.
More than anything, whenever I'm writing a song about my wife, or even just in general, like for instance, I have another song on the website called Amor Verdadero. That's in Spanish. That's a song. My cousin, he approached me and he said, you know, I really wanted to write a song for my parents for their 50th wedding anniversary, And I was like, man, that sounds like a great idea. And I love his father, my uncle. He was a man that, again, during times right when I made the transition from adolescence into adulthood, he was so pivotal in just encouraging me and telling me, you know, because there were times where I would be ridiculed by my other uncles, but he was the one, you know, when I was really down and out about myself and didn't think that I was really a man, he really came to me and he said, you know, son, don't listen to them. You know, for right now, this is probably your status. But there's going to come a time where you will be self-sufficient, where you will be able to sustain your house and be the man that you desire to be in your heart, that I know you desire to be in your heart. So don't take to heart what these fools are saying to you. You are a good man, and you will be a good man. So just stay the course, and you will be.
And you certainly are. And you certainly are. You certainly are. Because we're going to talk about the reasons why I think you certainly are. And I've only known you from talking to you personally this evening, although I have been exposed to your wonderful music beforehand. So why don't we just go ahead and play another one of those songs?
Sure. This next song is called Amor Verdadero, and it's a song that I wrote for my aunt and uncle on their 50th wedding anniversary that we celebrated recently as a family in Pennsylvania on September 1st of 2012.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Anthony Sanchez in Amor Verdadero.
Parece que fue ayer.
thank you for such a wonderful song. That was absolutely beautiful. I have to listen to that again when we get off this interview. It's nostalgic of yesteryear, those times when our parents used to enjoy music, romantic music for what it was. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now I want to share a little bit with the audience through these questions why it is that I think that you're a wonderful person. Talk to me about your benefit concert that's coming up to aid the Hurricane Sandy survivors.
Yes.
Why did the idea come up? And
okay, it was right after the hurricane had just devastated the New York area, then the Jersey area. And I was just watching and was grateful that nothing had happened to you know, my family or here. Because I'm inland. I'm in the Bushwick area, so there's not water near us. And fortunately, there was only a couple trees down. But just looking at the devastation and looking at the families, looking at, you know, how broken they were, and knowing some people lost family members, and just you saw, like, a desperation. That there was absolutely nothing that they could do, you know, and they're asking for help, and the temperature's getting colder and colder. And then FEMA isn't, you know, really mobilizing fast enough. And then even if FEMA was present, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves, there's so much devastation that it's impossible for FEMA or any government to immediately satisfy the needs that are right now amongst the communities that have been devastated. And so, days passed by, and I believe it was last Friday night, I was watching the American Red Cross benefit show that was going on. I think it was on CNN or Channel 4.
Yes.
And I was looking at that, and I just saw images of the people and just the video, and I couldn't stop crying. And I was just, for days, I hadn't stopped crying for days. And I was just, you know what, I shut off the TV and I said, that's enough. That is enough. There's got to be something that I can do. I mean, I've got music. I'm a singer. I know a couple of people. So I went on Facebook and I just wrote just a call, a post, a status update, just calling out Facebook in general. You know, I said, you know, how does the Facebook world feel about just putting on a benefit concert to help the people of just that have been devastated by this storm? And I contacted the people of ReverbNation.com, the actual corporation, and asked them, you know, I'd really like to put on a benefit concert here in New York with the Reverb Nation Artists of New York, you know. And then, but they responded and said that, you know, they were still dealing with, they were unable to really move fast enough because they were dealing with the devastation from the storm, the effect the storm had on their system. And so I was like, oh man, so you know what? I said, this is over 3 million New Yorkers. I know for sure that if we get together, that we can raise enough to help at least 2-3 communities with this one event. And as I continued to just post that status, my friend and fellow artist, Liz Menezes, who's also a Reverb Nation artist, she reached out to me. Her husband actually is producing my music. And he actually texted me. He said, you know, this is so funny because Liz was just talking about doing the same thing with me last night. You guys should hook up and talk. And so Liz called me and we spoke, and I sort of shared her my ideas and what I was trying to do. She's like, I want to do the same thing. Well, let's do it. And I said, absolutely, let's do it. And so we started mobilizing. I went to her house that Saturday. We started talking about the idea. And then I stood up all Saturday night into Sunday. I went to get gas. And then the next day, I went to Liz's house again, and we shot a promotional video that we put up on YouTube just telling the people about the event that we're trying to do. And it's going to be this Saturday on November 10th. Right now, the venue we had selected was John Adams High School. Unfortunately, the custodial heads of the DOE rejected our request for the permits for the location. So we're tomorrow I'm trying to solidify another location to host the event in. But I'm working tirelessly and with my associate Liz, and we are working very hard round the clock. I mean, I haven't slept much, she hasn't slept much. But we really want this event to be a success because we know that the people of the Rockaway area and the Howard Beach area are in desperate need of these resources. And all I can think about is just the children. And it's just I wasn't able to sleep last night because I was just up thinking, it's so cold right now. And my kids are in their beds and they're warm, but how many other parents must there be that are just so desperate right now? Because as a parent, you can't provide the safety and the warmth that your children need. And it's not because of any fault of their own, but it's just something that's out of their control. And when that happens, that brings such a desperation, such a frustration, that you want to pull your hair out, but you don't even know what to do anymore. And it's such a sad situation to be in. And I wouldn't want anyone to be in that situation. So if it's within my power, I mean, Edmund Burke said it best. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And I mean, even the scripture says that if you know to do good and don't do it, to you it's a sin. So I know that this is a good thing. I'm not going to stand by and not do it. That is what prompted me to do this event.
That's wonderful. Now, what was the name of this venue that you're trying to get a permit from?
It's John Adams High School. The principal, I work there. I'm a paraprofessional in the school. I assist the teacher there throughout the day, and I teach music, guitar class. The principal is in agreement. He wants the show to go on, but his higher-ups rejected the permit solicitation.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, because that would be a wonderful plug on what a wonderful school John Adams High School is for doing something extraordinary for some very needy people in dire straits. Some of them can lose their lives because they're out there in the cold and they're hungry. How will the concert benefit survivors? Is it going to be monetary or food, clothing, flashlights?
Well, I'm actually working closely with the American Red Cross. They're going to have some volunteers there present. I've already signed a third-party contract that they've sent me, just saying that 100% of the money that we do raise at the event will go to the American Red Cross. And also, what we're saying to people is that your ticket to come into the show is not monetary. It's a donation. So if you have a blanket you want to donate, that's your ticket into the show. If you have a pack of socks, underwear, batteries, flashlight, if you have that, that's your way to get into the show.
And if they have money, if they bring money also?
Yes. We prefer for the people, when they come to the event, to do their donations electronically via texting. We'll have that information there. But for those viewers or people that come that don't have the technology to do those donations electronically, we will have a place where they can put their cash donations.
What is the address where the concert would be taking place if you should get your permit?
Well, if the permit situation gets through, it'll be at 10101. That's 10101. Rockaway Boulevard in Ozone Park, New York, and that's between 101st and 103rd Street, in Ozone Park, Queens. Tomorrow I'm going to see, because there's a church that's about a block long right across the street from the school. So if I can secure that location, then I wouldn't even have to change the address. I just, you know, post it, you know, let the people know it's just right across the street. You just move it right across the street. And, you know, the kids in our school are from the Howard Beach area and from the Rockaways, and a lot of their homes have been flooded out. A lot of these students, a lot of our hallways are pretty empty, because some of the kids just haven't been able to show up because they don't have homes, and it's really difficult. And a lot of our teachers too have suffered a lot of loss as well. I mean, one teacher came in 2 days ago. She was in tears, and she had on a dress, a bag, and a sweater, and said, "This is all I have left." And, you know, it's heartbreaking.
Oh, my God. I know. I can't. You know, there go I. I mean, that could be any one of us. Let me ask you a question. Is there an email address or a number where people can call in to verify the actual concert address just in case there's a change other than the sign that you would post? Or is there a way they can reach you?
Yes. They can email moveny12@gmail.com. That's M-O, that's M as in Mary, O as in Oscar, V as in Victor, E as in Echo, New York, 12@gmail.com, or they can check my Facebook page. I'll constantly have status updates there, and that's facebook.com/antsank82. That's antsank82, and they can check on my Facebook page there. And there'll be status updates for the event as well.
Okay, so I think that what you're doing is an extraordinary thing, and it moves me that you're on a mission to help the survivors of Hurricane Sandy. And you're probably going to be someone who's going to serve as a catalyst to get other people to move and do the same thing that you're doing, maybe not through concerts, but through some other means. And it serves as an inspiration to me to learn about what you're doing out there to help those people and mobilize and activate people. And I'm certainly proud that a fellow artist has taken it upon himself to do it, even when he has been told by others that they can't partner with him. I'm really very glad that you do not let anything discourage you. You're a force. You're just moving ahead with what you feel you need to do.
Well, I mean, it's like anything in life. I mean, the principal, even today, when he gave me the bad news, he was very discouraged himself because he was really excited about the event. He was really looking forward to it because he wanted to let the students know that he cared about, you know, what had just happened to them, and he really wanted to host the event at the school. And he is such a visionary. I mean, Mr. Principal Scanlon is an amazing individual. I mean, he doesn't let his position really dictate who he directs himself to. He engages with anyone and everyone in the building, regardless of your title. He's a human being, and that's very far and few in between that you find that, like an actual principal who doesn't care about his status but is concerned about the outcome of where he is and what he's doing. And when he told me that, I was just like, oh, okay, well, maybe we can use the place across the street. And, you know, he was kind of, like, shocked. It was like, I was like, man, you're very positive. I was like, no, it's not about being positive. It's just the people need this help. And this is going to happen whether or not it's here or across the street or in another borough. But it's going to happen. And it's bigger than us. It's bigger than my comfort. And I really... Again, I only see my kids' faces. Like, if it was my kids, I would be desperately hoping somebody would, you know, go above and beyond, you know, not be discouraged and say, oh, you know, well, I guess not, you know, I guess we wanted to, and it was good intention, you know, a good feeling. But you know what, things in life, and if we look at the course of our history as a nation, as a people, as humanity, things that were great were never easy. Things that were amazing and that had great fruits were never simple. They were always complex. They were always complicated. They always started out great and received heavy opposition. But if you stay the course, and if you just keep your eye on what you're trying to do, then at the end of the day, you will see the fruit of your labor, and you will see the fruit of your perseverance.
Well, Anthony, I just want to thank you for being a beacon of light, for being a fortress of strength, for being an inspiration to the New York City community, and more so, for being an example to artists all over as someone who does not take no for an answer. And I know that you're going to have this benefit concert. It is going to happen. And I want to thank you for not giving up. Would you like to play one more song for the audience? And before we do, is there anything that you would like to say to the public about their role or a role that they can play in aiding the survivors of Hurricane Sandy?
Absolutely. The one thing I can tell you is just stay in touch with the news, because a lot of times what happened because of the society that we've become now, you know, once the media slows down its presentation of the victims, we kind of almost forget about them. And we forget that, you know, yeah, there's actually still people. There are thousands upon thousands of people that still have not received aid, like people in the Coney Islands, people in the Howard Beach area, in the Rockaways. There are people who still need help. Don't forget. This is not a problem that has gone away just because a week has passed, just because a week or 2 weeks. This is something that's going to take months, maybe a year before the actual, I mean, the communities are restored to where they were before. So don't forget. Don't slow down your giving. Continue to give. Continue to really just reach out. Continue to reach out to these communities and to these people. And if you see them and they're struggling, try your best. I mean, even if you have a sandwich or something, you want to just, you know, give that just anything, any little thing, just put yourself out there, put yourself in a position where you're going to say, you know what, I helped somebody today, I helped somebody this week, I helped somebody this month. But help, do something. Don't just stand idle by. Again, Edmund Burke, I mean, that line that he wrote many just centuries ago, has always resonated in my heart since the first time I read it, and it's the only thing necessary for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. Let's not do nothing. Let's do something.
Powerful. Powerful. Very, very powerful. Can you please announce this next song?
Sure. This next song, it's actually a song I have in a songwriting competition with Guitar Center, and it's called Yours for the Taking. It's one of the songs that I've written in this last couple months, and it's a song that has become very dear to me because it's a song that essentially is my conversation with God and just letting him know that no matter how restless my heart may become, that my heart is his and always his for the taking.
Anthony Sanchez, CEO of MOVE, recording artist, and now benefit concert promoter and coordinator. Anthony, thank you for being an inspiration to us all.
Not a problem. And I just want to say thank you to Liz Menezes and Eli Menezes, who have been such a big support and a help for this this event. And they've really, you know, joined forces with me, and they've been instrumental into the development of this project.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. Is there mention on your website of this young woman who's helping you and this other gentleman on your website? Can you give the audience their website addresses?
Yes. It's reverbnation.com/Liz Menezes. And that's Menezes is a Brazilian name. It's M-E-N-E-Z-E-S. Menezes, yes. M-E-N-E-Z-E-S.
Thank you so much, Anthony. It's been a pleasure and an honor to interview you here today on the New York Pod Cafe. I look forward to our next interview.
Absolutely. No, thank you so much for having me, Carmen. It was an honor for me.
You're welcome.
And now we present a song by Anthony Sanchez, alias Anthony Max, Yours for the Taking. You have been listening to an interview with Anthony Sanchez, alias Anthony Max, and his wonderful music. This is a wonderful young man who has set out on a quest, not only to be musical and share his talents with the world, but to share his benevolence through an organization through which he will be conducting fundraisers and benefit concerts, making himself available wherever he is needed. So when you have a talent, when you have something that's God-given, you use it for the better, just like this young man. Thank you, Anthony. For more information about Anthony, www.reverbnation.com/Anthony Sanchez. You have been listening to Carmen Amaro's host of the New York Pod Cafe. If you'd like to reach me, you can do so through blogtalkradio.com/New York Podcasting Cafe. See you real soon.
Hi. Hello, everyone. I'm going to try and take a couple of calls. I don't know if I'm going to be successful at this. The switchboard is a bit new to me, but please bear with me if I suddenly lose your call. I will try to go on chat and see if I can remedy.
Hello,
okay?
I'm going to try and take a couple of calls. I don't know if I'm going to be successful at this. The switchboard is a bit new to me.
Hi, Anthony.
Now,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, gosh. I'm a little bit overwhelmed here because I'm acting, I'm the host and I'm the engineer, and it's a bit overwhelming today. I'm sure that I'm going to have full command of this at some point soon.
Oh, gosh.
But for the time being, I've got to lower the volume on that speaker. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so talk to me, Anthony. What have you been doing today to try to get that concert going on?
Well, yeah, just on and off the phone all day, then in between trying to educate tomorrow's future and just evaluating music students that I have in the high school where I work, and just going back and forth with the principal and the student union director for the student activities, and speaking to Councilman Ulrich, Senator Adabo, and just trying to get something happening, something in motion.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have to say that you sound a little bit tired. I'm sure you really have been working on this round the clock. You had spent a couple of sleepless nights during the interview, even though you sounded wonderful. And, you know, we will try to excuse that because I know, you know, you've got a big thing on your shoulders right now. There's a lot that goes into event planning, and not to have a secure venue is a scary thing. Anthony, I have somebody on the line that I think would like to talk to you, but I'll need to just screen them for a second. Do you mind holding for a moment?
Not a problem. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Hello. You're on the air. Hi, Carmen.
Yes. How are you? This is Madeline calling from Florida.
Madeline, you're on the air.
Oh, gosh. Well, I just want to let you know, I'm really impressed about people that are stepping out to help the people that were hurt by this Hurricane Sandy. More power to you guys. More power
to you for what you're doing.
And
you
have my support down here in Florida, okay?
Thank you. Do you want to talk to Anthony? Do you have any questions for him, or do you have any words for the people in New York? I'm gonna bring him back. Anthony, you're back on.
I just want to thank Anthony for what he's doing, because it takes a lot of people to help. It's not just a few people. It's a lot of people. And during Hurricane Andrew in Miami, it took us years to restore what we lost. So from experience, I know that people have to keep giving, keep hanging in there, keep on helping, and don't give up, because it takes time, but it's going to come back, and it's going to be better than ever. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Carmen. More power to all of you.
Thank you, sweetheart, for calling the show, and I hope that you'll continue to participate in future programs.
I will.
And episodes. Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. So I just wanted to share with the audience that I've been trying to see if I can align our artist friend Anthony with some concert producers, people who actually promote concerts in the New York City area, to see if there's a venue out there that might be interested in bartering with us or with Anthony and his crew for that benefit concert. I don't know, Anthony, what your budget is. Can you talk to us a little bit about what your expectation is for securing a venue?
Well, I mean, right now, because I'm in partnership with the American Red Cross, we do everything based solely on donations. So, I mean, we're hoping, you know, that the venue that does, you know, afford us the space would take that into consideration, that in reality there is no budget to work with. Everything that we've acquired so thus far has been not just the generosity and the graciousness of the people that have really risen up to stand up and rise to the occasion of this great need. I mean, I'm working with a publicist now who, you know, has just been instrumental through just getting more media involved. And again, she's volunteering her time, you know, but these are her connections that she's worked hard for throughout her entire career. And to just, you know, offer them over willingly without expecting anything in return, is amazing, and I applaud her for it. Just because, I mean, I've always done a lot of volunteer work myself, within the church, within anything that was a need, and in reality, people who do things just for the sake of doing them, to see that there was a need and now that need is satisfied because of what you've done, is very far and few in between. But I know that those people do exist and those organizations do exist. And I'm kind of hoping that one of them would rise up and really help us make this happen. Because in reality, a lot of people are just telling me, you know, well, we can wait for a week, you know, but you know what, in reality, yeah, we can, and it's fine because we have heat, but what about those families that don't have any electricity or don't have any heat?
Right.
Or the children that, you know, are probably layered right now with three sets of clothing but are still cold.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very cold in New York right now. And, you know, many people can say, well, it's not that bad right now because the snow stopped. Yeah, it did stop, but you know what? The houses in those areas are covered in snow.
Mm-hmm.
And they have had no heat for over a week. So the cold has not dissipated from their homes. It's increased.
The cold is no respecter of persons, especially families and children.
Yeah, and it's insulated. If you know anything about like house construction, there's insulation within the walls. So whether that be heat or cold, the house is going to insulate it. And so that cold is insulated within the house, especially now after the nor'easter. I mean, it was horribly. It was snowing horribly yesterday. I mean, right now the snow has kind of melted away, but last night, and I can only imagine, you know, what those families are going through. And so when people tell me, you know, we can wait a week, I take it as an offense to me, to just because, I mean, I may be okay, I may be comfortable, but you know what? These families, let's tell that to these. You know what? Let's go to one of these families' houses. You know what? Wait a week. Why don't you wait a week while we get our things together, so that we can help you? That's smack in the face.
Oh, yeah,
and I take it personally because.
Right.
I try to put myself always in the position of other people. And if I was in their shoes and somebody told me, you know what, I want to help you, but wait, just wait a week. You know, I know you're hungry, I know you're tired, I know you're cold, but you haven't been able to sleep because you're defending your house from looters that, or potential looters that might be just walking up to your door trying to steal the little that you have.
Right.
While you're also trying to protect your children from dying from exposure. Yeah, let's tell these families to wait a week. Let's see their responses.
I appeal, and on behalf of Anthony, I appeal to anyone who's listening to this episode of the New York Pod Cafe to please, if you know anyone who has a building that is willing to give up the time and space to allow Anthony to do this benefit concert with a host of artists, from probably different genres. Anthony, you're going to give us a little information on that. Please, please, please call this program or contact Anthony at www.reverbnations.com/AnthonySanchez. This is a good cause. He's not doing this for himself. Nothing is going to go into his pocket or the pockets of those artists who are going to be performing at that venue. So please, 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 if you know anyone who has a large building, what capacity are you looking for? 300, 500 people, Anthony? What kind of,
I'm expecting 300 plus to show up.
Okay, so you would say about a 500 capacity, right?
Yeah, 500 and above, I'm expecting. I'm, you know what, and this is me just, you know, there's been so, like, even radio stations that have really supported us and advertised on their radio stations. So I'm banking on the audience that they have, you know, on really just turning out. So I mean, let's say there's 15,000 people that have heard, you know, about this event. I'm expecting that at least 300, you know, are going to come through.
Right. Right.
And
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Even if there's 150, even if there's 200, and even if there's 50 people, that's 50 people that have come with a donation. That could be good enough to help out four families, five families. You know, for me, my goal was to raise enough to help two to three communities. So I was looking for a really huge, epic, just response to the need that there is. But you know, I'm not impractical either. So I'm willing to settle on 300 and up.
I think that there are people listening, and I know that there are a lot of people who care, and I'm sure that, I mean, whether it's a club owner or somebody who has a club that fills that kind of a capacity, whether it's a school or some kind of an auditorium, I mean, a bar just isn't conducive for this kind of a venue. You know, we don't want young people walking into a bar, even if it's a benefit concert. We need a decent, clean place where, you know, people can sit down and enjoy a concert, a place that's warm and where they can bring their contributions to the survivors of Hurricane Sandy. And that's what this is about. It's about people showing the love for other people. And I just pray that there's someone out there listening right now that would consider dropping a quarter, 50 cents. How much is a call nowadays? I don't even remember. And just, you know, calling their favors in and saying, hey, you remember that favor that you owe me? We need an auditorium that seats 500 people for the Red Cross and for a benefit concert. So I hope that that person will step up tonight somehow and hopefully before dawn or before morning you would have secured a place for it.
I'm hoping so as well, cuz you know, time is running out and the event is, I mean, at this point a day away.
Yeah,
and,
it doesn't cease to amaze me how quick people are to make a buck off of a concert promotion for whatever, you know, for money, just for self-promotion and for profit. And during times like these, when there's a real crisis, it's just a tough thing to try to find people to step up to the plate and say, okay, let's just give. And, you know, I really believe that whatever we give to God and his universe comes back to us. You know, Ecclesiastes 11:1 says that when you cast your bread upon the water, it will soon return to you. So I know, I'm living testament that everything that I have ever given away in some way has come back to me. No, I am not a wealthy woman, but I can say that I have truly been blessed beyond measure, because I don't cling on to money. I don't cling on to anything that I have. And when somebody needs it and I have it here, I don't even ask for anything that I lend out in return. That doesn't mean that I'm going to make a habit of that. But I do believe that everything that I have ever given away has been returned to me and continues to be returned to me and will always continue to be returned to me, because I don't think about what I have as being my own. It belongs to everyone. It belongs to God first and foremost, who gave it to me first. So I pray that somebody, you know, out there, please, within the sound of our voices, give Anthony Sanchez a call and really help us to bring this benefit concert to fruition.
Yeah, and you know what? And I really just want to encourage the East Coast Coast listeners, the Northeast, and. And I just want to just kind of paint a picture for everyone. I want everyone to remember. I mean, at one point in our life, we were stuck out in the cold, and we were waiting for a bus or waiting for a train to come, and there was no heat, and we were just cold. And we had our jackets on, but it was still very cold. Eventually, our bodies, I mean, the jacket that we had on wasn't good enough, and we were very cold. And how agonizing those moments were, just while you sat there or while you stood there, you know, waiting for the bus. And that, for me, that's a vivid picture, just because I remember every moment when I was 19, 20, 21, and I was outside in the cold, and I was always out all the time in the Lower East Side of Manhattan by the water. So I was always very cold, like during the winter at times, and I used to hate it. I despised those moments. But I remember having the hope of knowing that once I get home, it's going to be warm. These people don't have that hope. They don't have that hope right now.
They don't have that. And you know,
it's frustrating. I mean, it's right now it's beyond frustrating. You know that, you know, these, just how can we as a people be so selfish so disconnected from you know, from being what it is to feel these things, and not, you know, want to really just let's get this going, let's do this, you know. So if you're, you know, if you have a venue, if you have a space, you know, come out, do it. I mean, there's going to be media. Your place is going to get exposure. You know, people are going to hear about what you're doing, and you know, no good thing goes on, you know, goes without reward.
Right. And you know something, I often think about the times when I have worn, you know, my winter boots that are supposed to be waterproof, and somehow they leaked, and I'm walking in freezing cold weather with my feet in these wet boots, and I can't wait till I get home to just, you know, remove my boots and remove my wet clothing and just get warm. And these people don't have that hope. They don't have a place to go. And those that do have places to stay, shelter, think about it. You know, I sometimes stay with my family up in Vestal, New York, in Binghamton, or I sometimes, you know, visit my family in Massachusetts. And it's hard enough that when you visit them, you're sort of infringing on their privacy and their home and their families. And I don't feel comfortable. I can't stay there for more than 3 days. I feel like I need to leave because it's not home. As much as I love them and they love me, it's just still not home. And imagine staying in a shelter with complete strangers, having to share bathrooms, having to share premises, you know, who knows how many people to each, public utility. It's just, I cannot imagine. I don't think I will ever know what that's like, even though I have stayed in retreats where there have been four women to one in one room and they all share. And that kind of feels odd. So families having to get split up probably because they can't all stay in the same place for whatever reason. It's not a pretty picture.
And I also just want to, to reach out to those, to those who have children. I mean, when you have little children, especially the little girls, you don't know who these victims are or who all of them. Sometimes these shelters are filled with people who are not good to have around your children. And if you have a little girl, I know as a father, I'm extremely defensive, right? I'm extremely cautious. So I try not to, but you can't control this situation. Is out of so many people's control. And you can't control who's around your kids when you're in a shelter like that. So, just coming together. Let's help these families. Let's help them to get back to their homes, to the refuge, to the place where they have a safety net, where they can just go and know that they're safe, and just have the security of being at home.
And the Red Cross is involved. And this benefit concert, what genres does it cover? Who are the artists that will be performing? Can you share a little bit about what people can expect at the concert?
Sure. I mean, it's just up and down. There's going to be a Spanish punk band from Long Island that's going to be coming out to play that I really love. I really enjoyed it. I had the privilege of playing with them two years ago. And I really enjoyed their stuff. They're young guys, but they're really up and coming, and I love their sound. It's very energetic, very vibrant music. And then there's this other artist named Johnny Sky. You can find him on YouTube. Just type in Johnny Sky. And he's a young singer, very good vocalist. And he's very, very fun to listen to. And you have, my thing, my music, which is just like a blend of rock, R&B, it's just a big gumbo. My music, I don't really know how to classify it except for maybe alternative pop. But you have my friend Liz Menezes, who's sings pop, she sings samba. She does it all. She's just such a versatile artist. She sings in Spanish, Portuguese, and English. So you never know what you're gonna hear. It's like a Cracker Jack box. You never know what the prize is gonna be. And you have artists like Ebony Phoenix, who's actually a spoken word artist. But I'm working with the band to have like a little bit of music going on while she spits what she does, and she has such an amazing flow when she's speaking what she writes, and she writes such profound things and very elaborate in the details of what she does. Even though it's spoken word, sometimes you have spoken word artists who are very vague, but she's very clear, and her words are just right on. And I remember she did this political piece, and it was about ignorance and being blind, and how we as a society are growing more and more blind and allowing ourselves to be blinded by the lies of politicians, and not just politicians, but even ourselves. And it challenged me as a human being, as a person, and it really made me think about or rethink about a lot of things that I was doing. And so I invited her out to this because I really enjoyed her. And then there's going to be other poets. There's going to be some Spanish artists, Spanish worshiper, who's his voice is just so amazing. I love it. It's so thick and warm. And when I first heard him, I jokingly told him, listen, I want to lie down, roll up in my blanket, and just you can sing me to sleep. It's just a soothing voice. He's a great musician, and it's just all around. Eli Menezes, a brilliant, brilliant guitarist from Brazil.
Really?
Who's
is he one of the people playing in your CD?
He is actually
On my CD, I'm playing all the things. I'm playing everything.
Wow.
But he plays. He's the producer behind the song "Dreams" that I sent you. And we actually didn't listen to it the last time when I was on the air. But he produced that. And what that just means is just that he took the idea that I had and elaborated on it and made it that much better. And he's just so brilliant. He comes up with his arrangements, the chords that he uses, and he's just brilliant. I love hearing him play. If we can get a venue, you'll get to hear that. You get to experience musicianship at the highest level.
I love Brazilian music. There's just something about Brazilian music that's just so beautiful. I love bossa nova. I love all that stuff. And I would love to hear it. I mean, you're a secular you're a Christian / secular singer, right? So you can appreciate different types of genres, and you know, I've yet to hear it. Yeah.
Oh, me? I actually had a discussion with a person about that before. I don't consider myself a secular / Christian. I just consider myself a Christian man with something to say. Whatever that is, whether that be about love, politics, I will sing about it because anything that comes out of me.
I don't even like saying, you know, I feel that I think we should be very universal, and that, you know, people love God at all different, from all different backgrounds, different, whether they're Methodist, Protestant, Jewish, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we're serving the same God, and we're all on this planet. We should love and respect each other, you know.
And I agree. I think we feel more comfortable when we are able to identify or say, this is this. And not just say, listen, this is just good music. Let's just listen to it. That's it. I grow frustrated. And that, you know what it's funny is that a lot of the producers that I've spoken with have all told me the same thing. We don't know where to place you. We don't know, like, what genre to stick you under,
That's a good place to be, because some of the most popular singers have been in your situation. Look at Neil Diamond. Nobody knew what he was. They couldn't put him in country, that he wasn't exactly folk. He's not exactly rhythm and blues. He was stuck somewhere in the slot between all of the slashes. So I think it's okay, you know.
You know what? And I was having that conversation with a very good friend of mine. Name is Emmeline, and she said that, you know, Anthony, a lot of people don't know what to do with you because you're not good, though.
I like that.
Yeah, and she said you're not any of the letters in the alphabet. You're whatever comes after Z, Anthony. That's right.
Yeah. No, you really do have a very nice, unique sound. I really loved it. I mean, from the first song that I played, I was like, wow, I'm really hooked. I really enjoy it very, very much. We have about 21 minutes and 35 seconds to the episode's closing time, and I'm hoping that maybe some of the folks who are listening can pick up the phone and call us at 646-200-3938 and wish the hurricane survivors of the entire northeast and southeast coast well wishes and their prayers, and talk to Anthony, and you know, share how you love what he's doing.
Could we repeat that number one more time?
Sure, it's 646-200-3938. It's a toll-free number. I would love it if people would just pick up the phone and call and wish all of the Hurricane Sandy survivors who are without homes, and they may not be listening, but we just want to send those words up to the heavens like prayers, you know, even as they come in through my switchboard, that they will be heard like a prayer, you know, to the skies, and that you will be encouraged and that you will be edified by what people have to say to you about the good work that you're doing. 646-200-3938. We're going to be going
off the air in 20 minutes and 7 seconds. So you have the opportunity to just call and be brave and say hello to Anthony and share your well wishes. So, Anthony?
Yes?
I'm going to try to introduce you to a pal of mine and see if there's anyone that he knows that might be able to help you and see what happens. And I pray that you get your venue for the concert. And if you finally have to change the date, don't worry. We're all here. It's going to be heavily promoted.
Okay.
And you will have the media attention that you need for that concert. It's a good cause. It's worth it.
Yes, it definitely is.
Oh, we got a call. Let's see who is calling. Oh, my goodness, the switchboard is lighting up. Hello, you're on the air. This is Carmen.
Miss Benezes?
Hello, this is Carmen.
Hi, how are you, Carmen?
Okay, please tell me, give me your name.
My name is Liz Menezes.
You're a wonderful lady. Yes.
How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Talk to us.
What was
yes.
that?
I've heard some wonderful things about you that you're working on with Anthony.
Yes, we're actually putting together this benefit concert in pro of everyone who's been affected by Hurricane Sandy, and we're hoping that great things come across from this event. You know, the people in the city of New York are really in need, and I think that we need to help.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree. And Liz, you know, stay on the line with me. I have another caller. Can you hold 1 second? I'm going to see if I can pull this person in. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. Hello, you're on the air. This is Carmen at the New York Pod Cafe. Hello, you're on the air. This is Carmen at the New York Pod Cafe. You're joining Liz, Anthony, and Carmen on the New York Pod Cafe.
You're so
fun. I'm going to try and mute one of you out. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello, 347 and 6 blank, 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 blank. You're on the air.
Oh, I am?
Yes, my dear.
Okay.
It's so,
okay.
Thank you for calling the New York Pod Cafe.
Hello, my name is Belle, yeah. and I'm calling from Florida, actually.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And I just want to, my heart goes out to everyone in New York and me coming from there years ago. My heart just goes out to them, and I just want New York to know, and those of my friends and family that still live there, that those here in Florida, we're praying for you.
Well, thank you. And what do you think about what Liz and Anthony are doing as far as the benefit concert is concerned?
I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that at a time like this, we all need to pull together to help one another. So whether it's through prayer or any kind of event that they're doing, I think that's wonderful.
Thank you. You know, I'm just very thankful that we have listeners.
Yes.
Isn't it great? And, you know,
yes.
There are people listening that don't call in, and it's in the hundreds. It's in the hundreds. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of people out there who the wheels in their minds are spinning, and I pray that they have contacts and that they will try to get us some help over here, try to help us get a venue soon before this night is up.
Are we live? Can
yes,
they hear
we
me?
Yes, we are live. Yes, they can hear you.
Well, Carmen, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for your prayers that are very much needed. And I just want to say to everyone who's listening we're trying to motivate New Yorkers to drop in, to come and attend this concert, and bring your non-perishables and bring your contributions, and let's make a difference. Let's make a difference. And to all those who are tuning in right now, this is a shout out to everyone out there who's listening. The concert's going to be this Saturday, and like I said before, Anthony and I are expecting great things to happen, and we want to meet you, and we want to thank you for dropping by and for helping us in this biggest effort that we're trying to put together.
You're welcome, and you know something, your show is going to be a reoccurring show, so it's going to be on tomorrow night. It won't be live, but I mean, it's going to record and it's going to play at a certain time, but people are going to continue to hear Anthony singing and talking and bringing focus to your, you know, to what you're trying to do. So one way or another, you're in the minds and the hearts of those that are listening.
Awesome. Like I said, the event is not only going to be just us collecting, but it's going to be a show. So yes, there's going to be a lot of local artists. Anthony's going to be singing. I'm going to be singing, bringing some of my music on stage. And some local artists are putting in the efforts and energy to try to do this. We're going to have some local radio stations. We're going to have a lot of different things that it's not only going to be, you know, sharing, but also it's going to be entertainment as well. So we're trying to make it something very enjoyable for everyone. So I hope that everyone passes by, comes through, and the concert, the name of the concert is Move.
Move. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Move. The opposite of still, the opposite of stagnant, the opposite of immobility, the opposite of non-movement. It is Move. To get up from your dairy air off the piece of wood that you sit on daily and go. Move.
Yeah.
Let's move. Let's get this going. Let's get some help to these poor people that have been just devastated by something that was completely out of their control, something that is just a force of nature that was so epic. But you know what? What could be more epic and what could be more awesome and what could be more magnanimous is the help that we can give these people. It can be it can be grand. It can be just as historic as the devastation that Sandy left in New York. So you know what, East Coast, if you're listening, let's get up. Let's get off our rear ends and let's, you know, in the words of my generation, let's rock the stage. Let's rock the rock this city. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Yep,
and like Carmen, she says that she has family out here. I'm sure she has friends out here. And to all those who are listening who might not be in New York but have family or friends in New York, tell them about this. Tell them about the event. Spread the word. Make it contagious.
It is not about just putting on a show. It's not just about putting out the talent and showing what we have or what the singers have. It is about a good cause. It is about giving something back. That's
right.
What
it's not.
About.
It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the purpose that we have.
Lodge back there.
I'm instrument.
Talking to someone. I'm not sure.
This is like live, people. This is live.
Sorry, I'm actually on one of the amazing gas lines in New York, waiting to get gas.
Oh my goodness, is that where you are right now?
Yes,
no,
that is.
We're both in New York.
There's no gas. There's no gas anywhere.
There's no gas anywhere.
I know. We're down to a little bit less than a half a tank ourselves, and we have not gone anywhere because we don't want to get on the gas lines. But tomorrow it seems that we're going to have to go somewhere and sit for about 2 hours because we have a lot of things to do coming up. So I know how that feels.
But you know what's funny, though? Something that I believe it's shown all New Yorkers and in other areas as well here is that how we take the little things for granted, things that we do every day. And through this devastation, we see how we're so used to the normalcy of life, meaning drinking water, food, a warm home, gas. It's funny how we don't give it a second thought.
No.
And this catastrophe is actually putting that into light.
Yes, it is.
And that being said, that's another way that people can look at this, that things that are just a normal, people are doing without.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could put us into a greater appreciation of what is needed and how these people are doing without those needs. So that in itself might be also a motivation for those who are thinking about it and thinking twice to get up, like Anthony said, and let's go. Let's rock
get on your feet. Get on your feet and let's go. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get out there. Let's get out of our comfort zone.
In case people think that it's fun to stay on these lines, it really isn't. I mean, it's just sometimes
no,
I was like Saturday night I was up from 2 to 6:30 Sunday morning. And that's when I got gas. And then, you know what, I had a full tank of gas. And I've been doing a lot of running around. You know, I've been going back and forth between the location of the school, you know, to get the permits, you know, signed up, which were rejected eventually. Going to Staples, going to Staples to get the flyers that they were going to donate to us. And then going back to another Staples location to try to see if a banner could be printed. And then, you know, running around picking up my kids and then doing, you know, the daily routine that I have to do. And then also just doing a lot of legwork for this event, and that's wasting my gas, which is very hard to come by. But I don't say that. I don't say that for anybody to feel sorry for me. But I say that but we're committed to this. We're committed to this getting it done.
You know what's funny is that it seems like Anthony and I had the same thought process at the same time, but we didn't know that each other was thinking the same thing. It's only through somehow we were able to connect and say, hey, let's join forces.
Right.
So,
that's
like, we've distributed our efforts in trying to get this together. Like, just now, Anthony, I'm just going to give you a little advance, Anthony. I have spoken to one person, and the other one left a message for us. So we're looking at two different venues that it could possibly be held at.
Wonderful. That's such great news.
Nice.
Thank you for sharing that, Liz. We really it puts me a little bit at ease. We're going to be going off the air in about 7 more minutes. So I was just wondering if you could both share where people can call or you or contact you about any venues, about any things that they want to bring, distribute, anything.
Go ahead, Liz. Yeah, let them know, Liz.
Okay. We can be emailed at moveny12@gmail.com. Again, that is moveny12@gmail.com. My name is Liz Meneza. My cohort here is Anthony Sanchez. Anthony, do you want to leave your number or do you want to?
Yeah, I'll put it out there. You know, the entire East Coast is probably going to be blowing me up and Mark's going to be asking me,
who's calling you?
So my number is 347, that's 447-2005. Or the way that I taught my five-year-old to remember my number is 347-447-2005. Again, 347-447-2005.
And my number, 917-584-7717. So we're both reachable. Or you can also log on to Facebook and type in the word Move Benefit Concert, and you'll see a page dedicated to that. So we're both on Facebook, Liz Menezes and Anthony Sanchez. We're both there. You can find our pages. You can find the page for the concert. Leave your messages. Contact us. We're contactable, I guess, if that's a word.
It is now.
It is now. But, you know, we're doing this with love, and we hope that we're joined by many, not few, but many, and let's make a difference and let's make a change.
Wonderful. You know something, I would love to see if maybe we can hook up again. I know everybody has something to do every day.
Right.
I was very blessed to have all of you here on the program this evening. Because the show, you're welcome. You're very welcome. If this episode is going to continue to play until until November the 16th.
Fantastic.
So people are going to continue to hear, and I'm sure at some point even continue to contact you to help. And I'm sure you're not going to close the doors. You may even have more than one venue to do as a result. You never know. I don't
know
if that can happen, but you never know. And
exactly.
I would love to stay in the loop. And you know, Liz, please friend me on Facebook so that I can know more about you and maybe interview you. And
where can
the
I
audience
you?
Can learn. I am now on Anthony's page. I've got two pages. One is a personal. One is a professional. So the professional is the Carmen F. Amoros one.
Okay.
The one with the F in the middle. And, you know, just friend me.
She's on my friends list, so you can definitely hook up with her.
What name again? I'm sorry, this phone is breaking
down. It's Carmen Amoros.
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 Okay. Like Amor.
No, Amoros. Amoros.
Amoros, yes. Just to complicate things. So I would love to have you guys back. You're phenomenal. Maybe we can do a little bit more with your husband, too, who I heard is amazing.
Oh,
I would
love to serve him, sir.
You know what you have to see? It's his eyes, the way he looks at you. It's just, it just grabs you. It's captivating.
Yes,
I love him.
Yes.
Liz, I love him.
Well, you know
so
something.
Funny.
We're about to go off the air, but
okay.
in about 3 minutes and 33 seconds. But let's make the most of it and just appeal to everyone out there to please help Anthony, Liz, and her music producer husband. You know, Menezes. Yes, I'm sorry.
Please, this is the last minute, please, before we get off the air, please join us this Saturday, November 10th, at our benefit concert for those who have been affected by Hurricane Sandy. Concert name is MOVE. Location to be announced.
Okay. It was going to be at John Adams High School, but it's not going to be there anymore, you don't think?
It's not going to be there anymore. We should have a confirmed location by tomorrow, and we'll be posting that up on Facebook.
Okay, great. Okay, and what I'll do is I'll try and see if just before the show tomorrow, if I get an update from you, I will say, by the way, there's an update, before the recording goes on, and announce if there's a new venue and give out the address and post it all over our Facebook as well and on the show's page as well.
Perfect.
So,
Carmen, requested you.
Okay. Oh, you did great.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Should I actually friend you? Let's see. Okay, I will. If I know better, I will.
Thank you
both for being on my program. And God bless you. And I'm grateful for what you guys are doing. And we will keep the community abreast of your updates, okay? We'll keep everybody
perfect.
In the loop. Okay?
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you so much, both of you, for joining.
You're very
welcome. Thank you.
A good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye. This is Carmen Amoros. This is Carmen Amoros calling from the New York, hosting from the New York Pod Cafe. You were listening to an interview with Anthony Max Sanchez and the beautiful Liz Menezes about their upcoming concert, benefit concert, which you will find on their pages and on mine. The concert flyer is on my page as well, Carmen F. Amoros or Carmen Amoros. So it's www.facebook.com/Carmen Amoros. You'll find it there. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.
And now, Carmen Amoros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe.